kind of like an honest politician, but kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
It is time for the sports page. Senior correspondent Scott Hall, Kyle Erickson joins us, and Fred Friedman.
Heidi, your Lynx have lost their second in a row.
Yep. 21-5 they still are, I'm going to tell you. And the LA Sparks are second, 20-8.
Okay, here's what worries me, is that they've two of those three losses have come on last-second shots.
Yeah.
Indiana, I believe. The Fever and the Storm. They've won. The Lynx were up by 3 with a minute to go. They're up by 1 with 20 seconds to go, and they lost 62-61 last night out in Seattle. Of course, Seattle, you know, it's the time of year. These teams like Seattle are desperately trying to get in the playoffs, so that everything gets a little more intense.
That's right. I'm going to go see them next Tuesday.
Are you?
Play the Phoenix.
Oh, you're going to see Diana Taurasi?
Yeah.
You're going to see two of the best players in the whole WNBA.
I'm worried about their health, Scott.
Well, I'll tell you what, Fred. These late, last-second losses make me, and also the offense in the last part of the game makes me think that's where they maybe miss Lindsay Whalen the most. Yeah. Think so?
Yeah, they've lost 2 of 3 since she broke her finger, right?
Yeah.
And they're just, I've watched the end of a couple of their games, these close losses, and they just don't have the same flow on offense. Mm-hmm. You know, Lindsay's just so experienced and so confident that she's just an ace at managing late game situations, and really smart on defense late game too, even though, you know, as she's gotten a little older, she's not as quick. That happens to all of us. But she's so smart and understands spacing on the floor on both ends that I think they're really missing her.
Yeah, I do too.
For sure.
Well, we're playing a doubleheader today against Cleveland. Cleveland is probably playing their best baseball of the year. Their pitching is just hot. So we got to figure out a way to beat Cleveland. Twins, that is.
So the bullpen is already pretty heavily taxed right now. Mm-hmm. They've had a string of short starts. Bullpen has been worked pretty hard. They've got a doubleheader today. And then have they got one series in between Cleveland and the White Sox? But then when they play Chicago, they have a 5-game set because they're making up an earlier rainout. And they are going to be playing a pile of games in the span of less than 2 weeks. Starting pitching has not been good lately. Bullpen is overworked. This next stretch of about 10 days, I think, is going to tell the tale of whether they're going to stay in contention into September, or whether we can say, well, this was a lot better than last year, but we still got some work to do.
Well, you know, Kyle, you and I are really excited about Byron Buxton, and you can explain why.
Yeah, so everybody sees the highlight reel catches. He made an amazing play. Robbing a home run the other night, he made an amazing back to home plate, diving onto the warning track, full extension catch. He does them on a weekly basis, it seems like. But this is kind of baseball nerdy. I want to talk about two individual at bats that he's had this month that make me think that there's a chance he's turned a corner. Not that he's got it all figured out, not that he's going to hit 320, but there is an at bat against Texas and there is an at bat against Milwaukee, where in both cases he got behind 0-2 in one case, 1-2 in the other. And in the past, that was an automatic strikeout. They'd throw a slider down and away. He'd flail at it, and it was done. And in this case, they've made some changes. He's made some changes to his hitting mechanics where it's almost Molitor-esque now, where there's no big leg kick, there's no big stride. He just kind of picks his foot up, puts it right back down, helps him keep his hands back. And in both of these at-bats, they did throw him a slider down out of the strike zone, but because he keeps his hands back, he's able to react to it and hit a solid single, drove a run in both cases. That's something that would never have happened last year, wouldn't have even happened 2 months ago. So if he can build on that and keep having better at-bats and use his speed, he's stolen 20 bases in 21 attempts. I think he might be making that corner, I hope.
Yeah, we all hope. He's so exciting to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he gets on first base, you just hope somebody hits a double.
Even a single to right center.
A single to right center, yeah. Away he goes. Yeah, it's fun.
I'm gonna stay optimistic about him. I'm worried about Sano. He strikes out way too often, swings at nonsense. And remember, unlike Buxton, Sano is always seeing men on base. He has the advantage of people always throwing out of the stretch at him. And I know he produces. He should be producing more. Way too many strikeouts.
Well, home run hitters strike out. I mean, that's going back to Harmon Killebrew. We know that. But you're right, Fred. And also, I think most of the Roy Smalleys and the other guys who know hitting better than I, he's got to be like Buxton, more patient with that outside pitch because he's so strong. He can hit the outside pitch the other way a long way, and he's that's their way they're pitching him. They're getting him out, and of course they'll pitch him high heat too. They can get him out on a strike, him out on a high fastball, but he's got to just learn to hit that pitch.
Here's a big difference. Here's a big difference between him and other high strikeout guys like Killebrew, Schmidt. They walk. And he doesn't walk enough. He swings at way too many ball fours.
Good point.
Way too many. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I hope, you know, it works out. But, of course, Kyle's right. The pitching's a joke. Doesn't look like Santiago's coming back. For sure, Hughes isn't coming back. And I doubt if they're going to get Perkins.
Yeah, Perkins has made some rehab appearances in the minors, and it sounds like his fastball is topping out in the high 80s. And he had a really flat, no-movement fastball to begin with, and you can get away with that when you're throwing 96 like he used to. You throw a flat fastball at 87, and it doesn't work too well. I want to just say one thing about Sano, Fred.
Yeah.
You know, he's got hit in the hand twice in the last couple of weeks.
Good point.
I think that's really affected his swing. And, you know, obviously I didn't play at that level, but I got hit in the hand a couple of times in my playing days. And when you swing and miss at a pitch, especially an outside pitch where you're really extended, that hurts. And I think it's changed his approach a little bit where he's just, I can't put a finger on it, but he's been different.
I admit it, guys. I got hit in the hand with a sophomore year in baseball. You know, still think about it. It hurt, you know?
Not much padding on the back of the hand.
No.
Hey, I got a trivia question for you guys.
All right, love it.
On this date in 2014, what former Twin player became only the third player in Major League history to hit for the cycle in both leagues?
Who, Carlos Gomez?
Good guess, no.
Well, that is a good guess.
It was just 3 years ago.
I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday. I've got no chance at getting that.
Both leagues, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Denard Span.
No, not Denard.
I'm trying to think of people that have been in the National League.
Yeah, Ben Revere.
No, they're honoring him this weekend in the Twins. In
Michael Kadire.
Oh, Kadire, sure.
Michael Kadire, yeah.
Both Kadire and whatchamacallit?
Andy McPhail.
They both won batting titles in Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Morneau.
Yep. Justin Morneau, the Canadian guy.
The rarefied air of Coors Field.
What number did Kadire wear with the Rockies? And why?
Five? No.
He wore number 3.
Harmon.
Yeah, in honor of Harmon Killebrew. Yep.
Honor of Harmon, yeah. You know, it's hard to believe Justin Morneau was all done at 34, 35, you know, trying to catch on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more stories about concussions. Sad the way his career ended. It ended 5 years earlier than I thought it would.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but on such a weird play, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was in his prime.
Yeah.
He was an MVP player, and he's going into second and gets kneed in the head.
Yeah.
Just a horrible way for a really bright career to, not that it ended there, but that was kind of the beginning of the downhill slide.
Yeah, that was the signal, that's fair to say.
All right, I'm going to make my annual complaint right now. You guys don't even have to comment on it, but it's just a brief complaint I have every year. I can't do anything about it. I love hockey, I love basketball, but on Tuesday, the Wild and Timberwolves announced their schedules, and both start in October. The Wild start October 5th, I think the Timberwolves like October 15th. And the season starts a month too early and it ends a month too late. They'll all be done maybe in June. So that's all. I just wanted to say that.
And half the league makes the playoffs.
And half the league makes the playoffs, which makes the long season. It's all about money.
When does fall trading start, Scott? Are you in already?
Probably September for sure. Yeah. Anyway, that's my annual complaint. That's all.
I hear that. I got to say, though, a long season might not be so bad this year with the talent the Timberwolves have added. So true. When they're winning 19, 22, 23 games a year, that's not a lot of fun to watch over the course of 9 months. But with the addition of Jimmy Butler and some of the other pieces, they're kind of the trendy pick to be the big improvement, make the playoffs, maybe make some noise.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great? Of course, it's a lot better talking about that than the all-time scam, exhibition football.
No kidding. Does it? I don't even want to ask what a ticket costs to an exhibition game, but it's probably probably beyond our means here. Well, you guys, thanks for going through the world of sports with me.
It's so great to have you back, Scott. You know, I mean, I've been wondering where have you been. I know you've been on grand duty.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know if you've been scouting for the Twins. See, they've fired a bunch of scouts. Have they spoken to you yet?
No. I would turn down all. I've got to prepare my granddaughter for a hockey career. So I'm going to be really busy the next 20 years.
Yes, you do. Now, do you predict she will get more or less penalty minutes than her mother?
Oh, boy. She'll probably...
There's an over-under. There's an over-under for you.
Her mother did get a few. Hey, we got to go, you guys.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye, Rick.
That's Fred Friedman with Kyle Erickson on the sports page on 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley.